Good morning. Welcome back in on The Point, and thank you for joining us. If it's 8:35 and if it's Tuesday, it is time for the Positive Points on Aging, and it is time to visit with our good friend, Marcia Clayman. Good morning, Marcia.
Good morning. I am so upset. I want some snow. You know, if it's going to be this cold, let's get some snow out there, Brian.
Yeah, I said that earlier. Brian said, nope, no snow, nothing. So,
if you have a chance to grow up in the snow, you really appreciate what all you can do in that great powdery stuff.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, it is, if it's going to be 28 or feels like 28 degrees, then, you know, you wouldn't mind seeing. The problem is that after the snow comes down, that's the problem, is it's beautiful coming down. But after it's down here, that's when people don't know how to drive in South Carolina. So I don't need any of that. As long as I know I'm not going to be on the roads, or my wife, my kids, I just don't trust people driving down here in this. They don't know how to drive in it.
That's true, so, but rain can also cause that same problem.
Yeah,
you know?
I'll take my chances on rain with people here a lot more than I will with ice.
I was afraid I was going to be late today because I was watching the news about Phil, the groundhog.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think he wanted to go back down under because he just wanted to get away from all the COVID and
is that what
the
it
cold
is?
Weather.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. All I could tell you is it looks like we're headed towards 6 more weeks of winter, according to the groundhog, whatever it is. Well, we're glad you're with us. Happy Tuesday to you. How are you?
Thank you. I'm bringing y'all a really serious topic today.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope I don't turn people off, but I'm telling you, it is something so important that we understand and talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have lived it in my own life with my mother, and there's a lot of people out there that probably have lived it too, and it's a silent issue. And the problem why it's so silent is because stigma is attached to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about it and discuss a little bit, because the silent resource for a silent diagnosis, mm-hmm. that's our show today. So let's talk about mental illness, because that is something that affects tons and tons and tons of people. And as you get older, it becomes a real problem.
You know, I wanted to bring you some statistics because I think it's very important that people understand just how it is affecting all of us.
Right.
Okay. So
sure.
Bear with me. I got you some quick stats.
Sure.
Here. According to the World Health Organization, mental disorders affect approximately 15% of the population over 60 years old. Anxiety alone affects 3.8% of us. Now, let me step back. These numbers do not affect or are not reflecting COVID, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So these numbers are going to jump after they get the COVID numbers in. The CDC states that people over 55 years of age or older have an estimated 20% of a mental health concern. Depression affects up to 5% of older adults. But it jumps up to 13.5% when they reach that point where they need care. When they know that they can no longer take care of themselves.
Right.
And the family starts bringing in home care, or home health comes in, or they need to move to an assisted living, that number is going to jump. And lastly, someplace that's very dear to my heart, NAMI, the National Alliance of Mental Illness, which I had a great opportunity to work for 2 years, mm-hmm. and learned so mm-hmm. much about this. One out of five of us are going to experience a mental illness each year. In the U.S., 19% of us are experiencing depression.
It's a big number.
And anxiety. It is a big number when
yeah.
you look at the states. And you
yeah.
take almost 20% of it. You take one-fifth of the United States and
yeah.
look what we're dealing
Absolutely.
With.
Absolutely.
Now, why I wanted to talk about this is that older adults are less likely to notify their healthcare professional or their family when they start having these symptoms.
Right.
And why do you think that is?
Why would they be less likely to notify them? They don't want to burden them. They don't want to alert anybody to their own problems, things like that, I would imagine. I mean,
the number one thing is fear.
Yeah.
They're afraid of adding one more issue to their problem to begin with.
Gotcha.
The second one is it's scary because they don't want people to think they're going, and this is I'm using the quote around this word, crazy.
Right.
You know, I learned at NAMI, you don't use the word crazy.
Okay.
That's not a good word.
Right.
So they're afraid of that. And a lot of times they can't even explain why they're feeling what they're feeling.
That's scary even.
You know, they're kind of wondering, did I really have that dream last night, or am I hallucinating?
Right. That's just scary, though.
It is scary.
You know, because you feel like you're not in control of your faculties and things like that, and that's oof.
But listen to this.
Yeah.
Overlooked symptoms that grouped into another chronic illness, which there's always going to be other chronic illnesses.
Right.
When mental illness is overlooked and challenging to diagnose, if it's left unattended, it will greatly diminish that senior's health even more.
Right.
Because it complicates the treatment of other chronic diseases. Because if the doctor can't figure out why they're doing this, and if he doesn't refer them to maybe a psychiatrist or a neurologist, then you've got problems compounding on top of each other.
But you know, Marshall, when you think about that, and I mean, I'm obviously you're giving us statistics and backing them up with numbers and everything, but when you think about that, it's hard because if you're not around that senior on a day-to-day basis, and you know, maybe you talk like I talk to my mom 2-3 times a day. Okay, so I think I got a pretty good gauge on what. But what if my mom wasn't right here in Columbia? What if I wasn't the one that was one of her major caregivers looking out for her and all that stuff? What if I only spoke to a parent once a week, which is not that uncommon if you don't live near your parent or something like that? I mean, what if that's the case? It's pretty hard to know and really get a gauge on if anything's going on, especially if they're not going to tell you.
Right, and especially during this time where there's so many of our seniors needing to stay home and need to stay isolated, it's very important that we try to find ways to connect with them. Our churches need to do a good job of checking on their church members, our neighborhoods, our club groups. We need to really be reaching out and finding out what's going on with these people, because that's when it's starting to hit them hard. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they're afraid to talk to people about it. Let me tell you the difference. If I sit here and say, my mother had Alzheimer's.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. If I turn that and say, Kevin, my mother is a schizophrenic. That difference of just thinking about the schizoaffective person is scary. But the person with Alzheimer's isn't. Why not? Because you both have behavior issues that could.
Absolutely. But people hear schizophrenia, they think crazy.
Yeah, they think crazy.
They think crazy. You hear Alzheimer's and you say, oh, well, you know, that's so sad because that happens to a lot of people as they get to certain age and blah, blah, blah. And there's stereotypes with both, but one of them has a much bigger stigma than the other.
And see, the thing is that the way they're grouped, because like, let's say that you have someone with Alzheimer's now. If I had a person with Alzheimer's right now that was really showing some bad behaviors or maybe their medications were mixed up,
right?
You know, we would definitely recommend that they go to some place like the Senior Retreat in Kershaw Health. It's a wonderful, small, intimate place in Camden, opened up about 3 or 4 years ago. They do a phenomenal job. That's one thing. But what happens if it's on the other side of the behavior regarding schizophrenic or severe anxiety, bipolar?
Right.
What do we think of? We think of, oh gosh, where's the Bull Street? You know?
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot to that. That again, you said it right at the outset, Marsha, when you talked about the fact that we're talking about some stereotypes and some stigmas, and it's not just with our seniors. I mean, life in general, when it comes to just mental health and mental illness in this country, we really look at it and we gloss over it. We almost think that, we can't talk about that.
Yeah,
let's not talk about that. We have to. It affects millions of people around America when it comes to mental illness and mental health and things like that. And it has a devastating effect on families.
You know, if I'm talking to someone and they say their family has Alzheimer's, they're not doing the crazy sign. You know, they're not doing that twirling finger.
Right.
Like, you know, don't talk about it. It's crazy. But it's something we really need to pay attention to. The other problem that we have is that when you have compounding issues on top of each other, what happens is that the medications start to grow.
Right.
And they grow. I mean, it's nothing to see somebody come in with 30 prescriptions.
That's mind-boggling. You know, and that's just something where you're asking yourself, are we really, really doing what's best for our seniors? Hold tight, we'll come back. We got a Fox Business Report. We'll come right back.
Mornings with Kev. Back to the Bark Fireside Studios. It's Mornings with Kev and Brian.
All righty. Good morning and welcome back in on The Point, 8:51 our time right now. We're doing our positive point on aging, and this is something we do every single Tuesday with our good friends Marsha and Karen from over at Oak Leaf Village in Lexington, and we're happy to have them both hang in. Well, actually, we just have Marsha today, but we we kind of alternate each week with Marcia and Karen. And this week, Marcia has come back into the studio. We're always happy to see her smiling face. And we've been talking about something that you got to go there. And sometimes people don't want to go there. And we're talking about the silent resource for a silent diagnosis. And what we're talking about is depression in our aging adults. And there's some scary stuff out there when it comes to depression, anxiety, and disorders. The thing we didn't talk much about was the eating situation. Mm-hmm. You see that with seniors where they stop eating or they don't eat right, or what is going on with that? What do you notice?
It actually can go the other way too, where there's nonstop eating, yeah, where they just can't fulfill that feeling of being full.
Yeah.
But I want to talk to
you. That's my problem.
I've got a list here of things that people can look for, but yeah, first I want to tell you my personal case study. I'm going to talk real quick.
Sure.
My mother, who fought Alzheimer's her whole life because her mother had it, okay, very healthy, very educated woman, doing everything right you could ask for. She had an accident. She fell. She broke her arm.
Right.
They put her arm, they had pins, 6-inch pins in her arm. Okay. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
She literally looked like a robot.
Yeah.
So she healed very quickly. The doctors were amazed at her improvement. She went into rehab, and she didn't go into rehab, but she had to get her pins taken out.
Right.
So the doctor comes in and he says, "We're going to take these pins out." My dad's standing there with her. He said, "I'll be right back, but my assistant's going to come in and do this."
Right.
She goes, "Okay, get it done." The assistant comes in, and apparently he missed the day of class of learning how to take pins out.
Oh, Lord.
So he starts drilling them back in her arm instead of taking them out.
Oh, Lord.
My dad said it was like watching her being shot at close range, the way she came off the table from the pain and the trauma.
Sure.
For 2 years after that, our mother dove into depression like you would not believe. It was horrible. And finally getting her to, after 2 years, it was too much. And the doctors kept saying, it's dementia. Well, at that time I was working for NAMI and I had a lot of background information I could take. And I said, it is not dementia.
No.
This is severe depression. Let's do something about it.
Right.
So finally we got her into a behavioral health. I wasn't ashamed of it. I was like, this is the silent resource that nobody wants to go to.
Right.
After 4 weeks, she came out. They had gotten her off of all of her medications. She was back to being my mom again. The doctor said that trauma apparently exploded neurons in her brain that made the depression and everything pop out.
Right.
Like it's, this is what we're going to do now to react.
Right.
So when I saw my mother, let me tell you some of the symptoms that are on my list here. She was constantly in chronic pain. She was constantly feeling lonely. She was always feeling like there was a dark cloud around her.
Right.
She was, she quit gardening. She quit cooking, her favorite hobbies. She started taking medications. It was like an alcoholic. We were finding medications, over-the-counter medications like Benadryl.
Right.
Hidden every place.
Wow.
There was other medications for stomach that she was hiding. Malnutrition, she quit eating. So she lost an extreme amount of weight. She just slept a lot. I mean, it was just, you take the increased anxiety, the obsessive compulsive, being paranoid. All of this is on my list of what you should be looking for. And my mother had that.
You guys saw it firsthand.
But I'm just saying is you've got to understand that when something like this happens, whether you consider it post-traumatic stress syndrome or whatever, you've got to react to it and at least get them some help. Talk to the doctor.
Right.
About what's going on with them, because this isn't right. And it can't always be dementia. It
sure,
could be.
Sure.
But my mother had both of them after that. She had the severe depression and then it went into dementia.
Right. Well, when it comes to something like this and something when this happens, you're fortunate because you worked in the world of understanding mm-hmm. this. You recognize some things going on and you were immediately able to say, let's go this direction. But the average person doesn't have that luxury of being able to have the knowledge to spot those circumstances and what to do if that happens. So the ultimate question I would ask is, if you see change in behavior in mom or dad or someone that you are caring for, what do you suggest people do?
You really need to go to your doctor first and be the squeaky wheel like I was. I kept saying, it's not dementia. It's not dementia. I know it's not dementia.
Right.
And this is what I would like to do. You got to do your own research at times and really push it. And then you've got to get them into some type of counseling to find out what's going on. You know, this generation, like my mother, they went through a lot of stuff growing up that some of us might never have heard about.
Sure.
We have a lot of World War II veterans that won't talk about what they saw. So you've got a lot of stuff that's built up and suppressed in their brains. And so that when it's ready to come out, it comes out in ways that, you know, you least expect it. So the important thing is to get some help. Be careful with the medications, because that's what we're getting too many of, is too many medications on top of each other. And then the other thing is that I would recommend anyone, whether it be a child or an elderly loved one, a friend, talk to NAMI. It is the best group. It is the nation's largest grassroots organization. They have people that can direct you in the right path.
Right.
They have fantastic programs. I went to a program just to learn more about my mother. It's called Family to Family. And mm-hmm. I sat there. You had to commit to like 9 weeks of a weekly course.
Right.
But it was awesome to sit there and talk to other family members and find out what's working for you and what help me understand why my mother's doing these things.
Right. And again, I want people to, the first thing I think people that are listening today need to be able to come to terms with is, again, the stigma issue. Because if you're going to help someone you love, that's all you should care about. Who cares if there's a stigma attached or if there's mental illness? Oh, my mom's got mental. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want her to have a good quality of life for the rest of her life, or do you want her to be in misery and in pain? I mean, who cares about the stigma if there is a stigma? And it doesn't even need to be a stigma. The more we talk about it, the less there's a stigma.
And, you know, when I'm driving around downtown Columbia and I see homeless people,
yeah,
that's the first thing I think of, is they need help, not only for food and for shelter, but they probably have a mental illness that they need help with. And yeah, once they get that help, they're going to be okay. Because that's one thing about mental illness, is that it's not a cure, but it's a recovery that you can go through with the right services.
Well, again, NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And as Marsha talked about, it's a wonderful organization that can help you. And you suggest people get in touch with those folks, go to their website, whatever it is.
Yeah, I've got their phone number. Their phone number, and this is not the crisis line, this is their regular line, is 1-800-788-5131. And then their website is just NAMI.org, and yeah, it will put you in the right location.
Yeah, by all means. Well, good stuff. As always, thank you, Miss Marsha. We appreciate you.
Karen and I will be back next week, and we'll probably sing a duet. We'll find a good song.
Wonderful. Well, Brian was actually looking to see if he could sing with you next week.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, Brian really was inquiring about wanting to sing with you guys.
That's good awesome. Stuff.
In the meantime, have a great day. We'll see everybody this afternoon at 4 o'clock. The Home Advocate's coming up after top of the hour. For Brian, for Marsha, I'm Kev. Thank you for listening to The Point.
Thanks.
Mornings with Kev.
WQXL Columbia, W264DF.
From the BART Fireside Studio, the solution for keeping you warm this winter.
This is 107 The Point.